thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here this morning with you. Todd done told all my secrets. And he said I'm not afraid, and thanks for that. But it's just such a pleasure to be here. I listen to your songs and so much rejoice, and I listen to the type of song you sang over here, and I can tell that that God is in this place, and that's what it's all about. All about my subject this morning is the title is "The Church That Will Stand." The church that will stand. And Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you this morning. Ask you, O God, to bless us as we attempt to give your word. Ask you, O God, to let the Holy Spirit dwell with us as we speak your words. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. We're going to talk this morning from the 16th chapter of St. Matthew's. And the 13th verse. But I just want to say, Todd, I appreciate this. I don't get away that much. I'm usually tired down at home, and so just wonderful opportunity. I also shall talk from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. We will tie that in with our message this morning. And you know, I was thinking this morning how great the church is, and my mind reflect back to when I was a kid. My mother used to make a big pot of soup. I don't know if you know anything about this, but I was raised in the country. And she used all types of different vegetables in the soup. She used okra, beans, and a whole lot of stuff. But when it was over, it was a pot of soup. It was just a pot of soup. I look at the church, you know, as there's so many different peoples, races, and in our church, and different national peoples. But when it's all said and done, it's just the church. And it's the church that Jesus Christ gave his life for. And I get kicked out thinking about that. Chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the courts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that upon this rock, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus here is talking to his disciples, and he asked them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And did he ask this question not knowing what folks were saying about him? Because people had different perspectives of Jesus. They were saying all kinds of things about him. I don't think that he was really too worried about that, but he wanted his disciples to know, because these men were God, Jesus depended on them to give us what we have today. So in order that they should be able to give us what we have today is that they had to know who Jesus were. And, you know, if we don't know who Jesus is, then how can we give the gospel? And every believer is a leader. I don't care who they are. If you're born again, then you have some type of ministry. That's why that is so important that we should know about the Word of God, know who God is. Peter, Jesus had Peter to know that that you didn't get this from you within yourself. He said, flesh and blood didn't give this to you, but my Father who's in heaven, he gave you the words to speak here, that you know that I am the Son of God, that I came from the Father. And then Isaiah 53 and 4 said, surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of his peace was upon, of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Talking about sin healing. We were sick in sin. Jesus Christ is the body of the church. Peter was a little rock. And I want you to know that this morning, each of you, that the Holy Spirit dwell within, you are a little rock. You are a piece of the rock. But Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the rock of salvation. And I'm just glad to know that I can call on him when trouble rises and things I can't handle, I can call on him. So he's wanting these men to know here. He wants them to know who he were, who he is, because he was going to leave such a great message in their hand. And today we have such a great message left in our hand. You know, the world today is doing everything that they can to silence the name Jesus. The name Jesus is not allowed in our schools anymore. The name Jesus is not allowed in many functions today, because people are afraid of that name. And what happened, what it is that name, if you're a sinner, it bothers you. There are a group going around today to tear down the crosses, and they want to do away with the Ten Commandments. But one thing about it, we that have Christ in our hearts, they can't take it out. I don't need the cross, because he's not on the cross anymore. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Anytime that so many times we find ourselves doing. I heard the sister was talking about getting in trouble, and sometimes we fail. And you know, when it comes to righteousness, I'm a failure. So many times we all fail. We all fall. And we need him to come in and energize our spirit, because we have an enemy that is running around, and he's not just outdone something. He's trying to distract God's people. He said that if you proclaim Christ, then I want you to prove it to me, because I don't believe that you're born again anyway. That's what Satan said. You know, what did he tell God about Job? He said, Job, you know, he just served you because you bless him on every hand. But if you just take those things around him, and he'll curse you to your face. And that's one thing about Satan. He never come back and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You know. Yeah, he's one that that if it were, I don't think there's a 24-hour day with Satan, because he never take a vacation, he never take a break, he's always on his job. And sometimes I think about it, that if I would just have that business for Christ, I mean, what would my life be like? Or what would your life be like if you were just half as busy on your job as Satan is on his job against us? Because he tries every day to direct us in the wrong direction. And the world today has taken right and turned it around and said right is wrong and wrong is right. And our United States have gone along with this philosopher that they can make laws and change laws. You know, the founding fathers set up something, and it has been good for a long time. And I think that if we could just get back to that, but we can't, because we have so many laws that are against what those men, and some of those men wasn't even saved, but they used the word of God to set up laws that the country could survive following those laws. And we have allowed it as a church. You know, so many times the church is silenced when things are going on. Take for instance, abortion. The church was silent. And I think the church said, well, you know, this just can't happen. This is America. This can't happen. But it happened, didn't it? It did happen. And if we would look back over the 40 years, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 million babies have been slaughtered. You know, so, and I listened to her when she reading about Israel, how that Israel got off track and the sin and how God can. You see, we belong to God. We have been bought with a price, and that price was blood. We have been bought and paid for. And when we sign ourselves over to Christ, then we belong to him. And I think a lot of time that, if you let me to talk to you just a few minutes, I think a lot of time that we fail to stand up. Jesus said that to the church, you are the light of the world. And the light mean it give light. These lights, I mean, it give light to this building. And if the light go out, the darkness come in. But he said, you are the light of the world. And then also said that you are set on a hill to give light to the world. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to this world and a responsibility to God, because he left the world in the hands of the church. And the church is going to stand. God, you know, the church belonged to God. He bought it with the price of blood. It belonged to God. And we who are in Christ, we belong to him. And the world belonged to us. But Satan is taken away. Satan, he's the god of this world. He's the god of this world. But we have a power that's over him. The one who came and gave his life for the salvation of the world. And anybody can call on him. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived in the past. But if you come to Christ, he can forgive us for our sin. This is the kind of God he is. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he goes on to say that Peter, he said, I give you the key to the kingdom, and whomsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Aren't you glad this morning that you are a binder? Why did God give this key to those men and also they pass it down to us? It's because that we never give up of trying to bring somebody to Christ. I mean, this is our job. This is our obligation. And we spend countless hours trying to prepare to bring somebody to Christ. That's why he could leave this thing in the hands of those that love him. He said, do you love me, Peter? And Peter said, yeah, Lord, I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. And evidently Peter was busy doing something. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, feed my lamb. You see, what God does, he takes in everybody. He don't leave anybody out. I don't care how young, God don't leave you out. He says, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. We are children of God. And I'm glad this morning to be a child of God. And he came again, and you know, Peter was busy. God liked to get the attention of those people. Jesus, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter stopped whatever he'd done and said, Lord, yeah, Lord, you know my heart. You know all things. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. The gospel is food for the soul of man. You know, what if we would neglect our bodies, our personal bodies of food for 3 or 4 days? We walk around looking like we almost dead, right? But sometimes we neglect to feed the inner man. And God wants us to feed on him. And he wants us to be mindful of who he is and not allow Satan to come in and destroy our mind. You know, our minds are just like a huge filter. And all kind of stuff comes into our mind. But we have to be able to sift it out because it's of Satan. Satan's not going to give you any good things. But he's going to bring you something that is troublesome to the body. The body that we live in wants everything it sees. It has a good appetite for the world's nourishment. But we have to watch it because Satan wants to tempt us from God. So Jesus is trying to get these men here to see who he is, because he's getting ready to leave him. But Isaiah tells us here that he was bruised for iniquity, and our iniquity is sin. He was bruised for that, and by his stripes we are healed. We that are in Christ, we are healed today. You know, you may have sickness, you may have problem in your body, but I tell you one thing. If you have Christ in your life, you have been healed of that sinful thing that Adam put on us a long, long time ago. Because Christ lives in us. Our bodies are the temple of God. So we have to be careful what we do. We have to be careful what we eat. We also have to be careful why we allow our eyes to go. There are so many temptations today in our world. And that's why I want to say that the church will stand through all of these things. It's been standing for a long time. You know, they tried to get rid of the church a long time ago, and they couldn't do it. When they killed Jesus, they thought that they had gotten rid of the church, but he got up out of the grave. That's what I like about him. He was, They in the world today, and I don't like getting too many politics because I usually make folks angry, but The man is supposed to be our leader today. He don't want no part of Christ. He don't want no part of God. And he has done so much damage to our world. But God still lives. God is still in charge. I don't care who come against him. He's still in charge. And he has the last answer. He has the last word. And one of these days, he's going to come. And sure, he's going to show up with the title of this world. Satan, he might be the Lord of this world. But Jesus Christ holds the title to this world. And one day, he's going to come and show up with the title. For a lack of body. And these men, they were witnesses of Jesus Christ. I believe that Peter and John got in trouble talking about Jesus and preaching about the risen Christ. They got in trouble. They were saying that he had risen again from the dead. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't want to hear that. They'd killed him, they'd buried him, and they wanted to be done with it. But he rose again. That's what I like about him. One day, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and they had whipped him and did all kinds of things to him, and he had been scourged and put a crown of thorns on his head, they had him to march towards the cross and carrying his cross on his shoulder, falling, stumbling down, and trying to make it to the cross. Just thinking about, all of these problems, the beating and the scourging. But the main thing, place he wanted to get to, was the cross. And when he kept struggling towards the cross. Why? Because God was there waiting to place the sins of the world on Jesus Christ. He was a man that had no sin, but he accepted our sins because we were not able to carry and bear our own sin. We were not able to die for our own selves. But he carried our sins and carried them to the cross. And as he hung out there on the cross, hanging betwixt the earth and the heaven, hanging there. And somebody said, if you be the Son of God, if you would just come down from the cross and just save yourself, and the thieves said, save us too. And there were a thief on the left side and one on the right side. And Jesus was in the middle. And I like to call him the man in the middle. The thief was dying for their sin. On the left side, he was dying for the crime that he committed. The thief on the right side was dying for the crime that he committed. But Jesus was dying for the crime that we have committed, hanging there on the cross. And just hanging there, and even the high priest said that if you be the Son of God, come down. And somebody said, he saved others, but himself he can't save. And I'm glad this morning, I'm so glad, that in all of his humiliation, in all of his trials, in all of his trying, in all of his pain, he didn't come down. We realize that it wasn't the nail that held his hand that kept him on the cross. It was not the spikes on his that was through his feet that kept him on the cross, but the love for those who were going to trust him down through the years. And he just hang there. And after a while, he found himself being separated from God. And that old rugged cross became an altar. Men had been taking the lives of bulls and calves down through the years and using that blood for a substitute. But now the real one here is on the cross. He was not a substitute. He was the real thing. And while hanging there on the cross with blood running down his brow from the cruel crown that they had on his head, somebody running around bowing and said, he said that he is the Son of God. And after a while, he cried out and said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Praise the Lord. God, he didn't say a word. But the world began to move real and rock, letting him know in darkness, those last 3 hours on the cross, darkness came over the face of the earth. The Bible said that darkness was so until it seemed like man could feel the darkness. The Son of Man hanging on the cross. And out there he was dying for the cause of his Father. He said, I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do my Father's will. Hanging out there all by himself. Friends turned their back on him. The man in the middle stayed right there until the job was done. Stayed there until they pierced him in the side and blood run down. Jesus, I'm God this month. Ain't God good today? Do you know who he is this morning? Or do you know him? Oh, I know the Lord. He's good. Yes, he is. He's powerful. Yes, he is. And they pierced him in the side and blood run down. He stayed right there. He died on the cross. And they took Jesus and they lay him in a borrowed tomb. Stayed right there until the third day. And early Sunday morning, got up out of the grave, talking about that rock. They put that rock in a rock that early that morning. Stayed right there until the third day. And early Sunday morning, God got out of the grave Sunday morning. Didn't need nobody to roll away the stone. And just slipped out of those grave clothes. Isn't God good this morning? Do you know the Lord this morning? He's all right. I get excited talking about him. Walked out of the grave. Looked back at the grave. Said, grave, why your victory? Isn't God all right this morning? Looked at death and said, death, why your victory? You see, I told you a few days ago I was going to rise on the third day. I got up. Yes, I did. Oh, grave. Oh, grave. Oh, grave. Why your victory? You've been holding me a long time. But you're not able to hold me. Because my Father is greater than I am. He's able to raise me from the dead. I'm so glad this morning. And we sleep before he come. He's going to raise us. He has the power to raise you. Oh, he can raise you from the grave. Oh, yes, he can. He's God all by himself. And nobody can stop him from doing his job. And his job is to see after us, his children. We are the children of God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus.